The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Welcome to Functional Health Radio on this station and also streaming on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness coach and own a gym called The Shed here in Sandpoint. And I'm joined by Jill Kahn. Jill is a marriage and family therapist and also has a practice in Sandpoint. Every month we come together and we share ideas about fitness, health, lately a lot about mental health. Mm-hmm. And on today's show, it will be the same. We're going to be talking about emotional exhaustion, which I love this topic because I think I have it.
I think a lot of us do.
I know I was reading through your notes and I could tell, yes. So this is a great topic. And then we're also going to be talking about setting boundaries, I hope. And also, maybe there's a sign that our boundaries need repair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then later in the show, there's been a lot of talk about your immune system, you know, building your immune system. And I'd like to share some tips on that. I've been focusing on that, Jeff, as well. We're going into winter. We shouldn't just be doing it because of COVID. We should be doing it all the time.
Yes.
And so, that sounds like an exciting show. I hope we can fit all of it in.
Yeah, me too.
So how have you been doing?
Great. I just got my booster.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really glad we leave for France on Saturday. Oh. So we wanted to get really fortified so we could travel safely. But it's been great. You know, we had a double engagement party for my two older kids, which was wonderful. Yeah. We had a really good time. And I had a great birthday.
What'd you do?
I just did all the things I love doing. Friday night, we went to listen to my son play at Arlo's. Cool. That was really fun. Saturday morning, I got up and hot yoga, Sandpoint Hot Yoga, gifts you with a free birthday class.
Oh, really?
So I took a nice vinyasa flow class with one of my favorite teachers.
And do you have to be a member of Sandpoint Hot Yoga to do that?
Or? No, they don't really have a membership. I mean, okay. They sent me an email and because I go there.
Yeah.
I haven't for a while during COVID, but I have historically. Mm-hmm. So I had a really nice yoga class, and then I got a nice massage, and I came home, and I went paddleboarding.
Wow, you fit it in.
And then then Alex boated me over to Beyond Hope for dinner. So that was the day before, and then the next day, Ben and his fiancée took us. We went out to breakfast together for brunch for my real birthday. And again, did some like walking the dogs and took another paddle and had a facial. And then I had my girlfriend's dinner.
Oh, nice.
Which is always really, really fun. So we went and had a really nice dinner. Yeah. Trinity, it was a perfect weekend, except for my daughter was gone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I miss Cammie.
Yeah.
But how about you? What have you been doing?
Oh, my gosh. Well, a whole lot, it seems like.
But yeah.
I don't know.
It feels busy.
Yeah, it's just... we were talking about this in the gym. All of a sudden, we're into fall. And it's time just almost jumped forward. Where did summer go?
Yes.
Driving to town is so dark. You know, everything's shifting. So I'm really just trying to focus on centering myself and not getting ahead of myself. The garden needs to be harvested.
Yes.
So I've been doing that a lot. I can't get enough tomatoes off the vine. They're just growing like crazy. So giving those away. And then I started running again.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I had taken a long break.
Yeah.
My body was just broken and working on other things. And I thought, you know, I miss it. I don't miss racing, but I miss just being able to go for a run. And so I started with the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking and we're running. It's
yes.
nothing to get excited about. But it is something that I've missed. And like I said, and I'm glad to be back at it. And then I'm also, you know, focusing on staying healthy.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of crazy.
It's definitely crazy. No, it's, and you know, we are aware of how impacted our community is by COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the long lines. I go by the lines for testing.
Mm.
It's on my way to work.
Oh, yeah, because your office is nearby.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And I've had just so many clients who've canceled because they had COVID. And one who was a long hauler and had brain fog for about 6 weeks. And, you know, there's an awareness of how impacted we are. One of my friends in my spiritual group couldn't get his biopsy for cancer
mm-hmm.
because the hospital was so overloaded with COVID patients. And just being aware of...
Yeah, I think there's a lot we could be doing to help with that, you know... just staying healthy, and if, you know, looking at the foods we put in our bodies, and, you know, because we being safer in our activities, you know, it's going to be, everyone has to play a part now in keeping the hospitals able to work on the, sickest. So, you know, I know we're looking at eating more fish and certain things to try to change it up. Not that our diet's that bad, but, you know, it's a fun time to kind of reexamine.
Yeah.
Especially a new season. So,
Yeah. But we've been eating a lot more fish too. And I think that feels good.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Nice. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, let's start that topic on emotional exhaustion. This is Functional Health Radio. All right, welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness coach and gym owner, and my local gym is called The Shed, and I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn, who has a practice in Sandpoint. And we're talking today about the emotional exhaustion that a lot of us are feeling.
Yes, yes. I have really noticed an increase in this, and when I found this article, it really sparked my interest because it put a name on it to what I had been observing, and I have a lot of clients who are experiencing this depression, anxiety, and I think because of the sustained stress that we've all been at, we're not really identifying how that's affecting us, but. You know, people are having this sense of sort of hopelessness and, you know, some suicidal ideation and feeling tired, like I just can't keep doing this. So the definition of emotional exhaustion is when you have both physical and emotional pain that affects you and your behavior. The early warning signs of it include lack of motivation, trouble sleeping, irritability, physical fatigue, feelings of hopelessness, difficulty concentrating, and more.
Yeah. Wow. Well, let's check off that list.
So I think a lot of us may be experiencing this. So identifying that, yes, this is something that's happening. The causes of this emotional exhaustion can be working in a really high-pressure job. And especially right now, people in the health professions, I think, are really impacted by this.
Or in even service. Look at the restaurant. Look at...
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Our poor town.
I know. Yeah. I know. And I'm trying really hard whenever I go out to dinner to be extra kind to our servers because they have a tough road. Yeah. So being aware of that. So our job is part of that. Working long hours, especially if you're working at a job you don't like, whether it's dealing with kids, a baby, the pressures of home, there might be financial stress that you're experiencing, and, you know, maybe a chronic illness.
Change. All the change that, you know, and I know I was talking to some moms today, and their kids are back in school, but the kids are all feeling this anxiety and stress because they're looking future. Instead, they're not able to just look at today.
Yeah.
You know, all the worry from what if.
Yes.
And it's really making it real hard on them.
Well, I think the combination of the uncertainty that we have about what our future will look like, whether it's COVID or the environment, you know, that definitely impacts how we're doing, not to mention the sort of polarization and divisiveness that really, I think, affects all of us as well.
Yeah. You know? I know it is for me. I'm in a situation, and you are too, especially probably at your gym, where you have friends on all sides.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I love them all. And so I'm just trying to be neutral and supportive of them all. I mean, I respect all their choices. So it's really hard to hear the bickering and the fighting all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It is hard. Yeah. It really is hard. So we're being impacted by that, no question. And when that kind of stress takes over your life, it can be just exhausting, both physically and mentally. And, you know, whenever we're in that state of sustained stress, we are more vulnerable to illness, right? Mm-hmm. We know that. And
it is actually one of the symptoms, one of the top
I can't remember the word right now because I have emotional exhaustion. But
that's a symptom.
Finding that people who are getting COVID are highly stressed and have anxiety because of inflammation.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And this is, I think, something that all of us are experiencing, the loss of control.
Yeah, for sure.
In so many ways, I think we feel an incredible loss of control, and that in and of itself is anxiety producing. Yeah. So we experience emotional exhaustion because we have no real bandwidth left, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't have the energy that we would normally have to bounce back. So let's talk a little bit about the signs and symptoms of emotional exhaustion. So see if you recognize any of these.
Well, here we go. Number one.
You're angry and impatient, mm-hmm. right? I have some friends who are definitely angry.
Yeah, I want to watch because I know that I will, this weekend, for instance, I was feeling that way. And it was, and I need to take a better note of if there was something I did before, did I turn on the news or did I read an email or instant, you know, Facebook or something? Because I really live in a bubble out at my house.
Yeah, you do.
So there's no reason for me to be feeling that
right.
way.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So I don't notice the anger so much myself as I do irritability.
Okay.
Right. It's like I just don't have the reserves mm-hmm. to sort of filter out things that might affect
me. Yeah, are you
me.
Quicker to get irritated?
Yeah,
too?
Yeah. Yeah, so I just notice I can be a little bit edgy sometimes and seeing that and trying to reel it in if I can. So when you're emotionally exhausted, you probably are in a bad mood because of your mental fatigue.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You might experience having a short temper or being more easily irritated. You might also feel that it's harder to control your emotions. I think a lot of people are feeling that.
Yeah.
Because you're mentally tapped out and exhausted.
Right.
It takes energy to have a filter.
Yeah, for sure.
And we don't, right? Yeah. There just isn't that energy. Mm. So some of the things that you might be experiencing would be anger, impatience, irrational anger, and increased cynicism or pessimism. Hmm. And I've definitely seen that in some of my friends who just have this.
Really? Oh, for sure. I have definitely the anger, impatience, and irrational anger. But when I notice that, I try to, it's more of trying to just be open. I kind of flip it then.
Yeah.
Because I could see if I continued down the road of being pessimistic, it would be not good.
A good thing.
No,
not a good thing. So here's another thing. You can't finish your work.
Yeah.
And I have had people talking about, you know, it just seems like it's harder to get my work done. Mm-hmm. So a person who's emotionally exhausted may find it hard to even finish the work that they have because they're experiencing a sense of dread, and they might lose track of time because they're easily distracted. So I think people are describing that they're failing to meet their deadlines, and there seems to be a really decreasing commitment to people's jobs. I've had a lot of people who've either questioned whether to keep their job or they've quit. People might be missing days of work. It's just there isn't that same sort of commitment or dedication because it may feel very empty and exhausting.
Well, I wonder if this is because there was some news about the high number of people leaving their jobs.
Yeah.
Like corporate jobs.
Yeah.
And looking for different ways to work at home. And I'm wondering if it's all part of this.
I think
instead of
may
just
be.
Wanting to work from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is an interesting thing that comes along with this exhaustion. So here's a third thing that is an indicator. You're zoning out more often. I think a lot of us are noticing this, right?
Yeah.
The Netflix binging, too much drinking.
Yeah.
You know, there are lots of ways.
Trying to escape.
Yes.
Yeah.
So people do that, right? They just want to zone out and not pay attention to anything. And it can even be physically dangerous if you're zoning out and you're crossing a street or driving your car, not really paying attention. I've noticed a couple of times I've been distracted.
Yeah.
So that is one of the symptoms. Mm-hmm. So the greatest symptom of mental exhaustion is when you find yourself unable to focus. So if you notice yourself asking people to repeat themselves because you haven't really heard, or you have to go back and reread something, or you show up somewhere and you can't remember why you're there.
I've been blaming this on menopause. But maybe I'm wrong.
I take those trips down to the basement. I think, what did I come down here for?
Yeah, I do have the car parked in the grocery store parking lot, and I'm wondering, where is that?
Yes, where did I park? Right? So those are things that happen.
Yeah.
Now, this is a big one for me. You aren't sleeping well.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Me too.
If you're suffering from sleep insomnia or having trouble falling asleep, it could very well be due to your emotional exhaustion.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I can fall asleep easily. I just wake up and can't get back to sleep. It's just all those things going through my brain. You might think it would actually be easier to sleep when you're emotionally exhausted. However, that's not the case. It can cause you to have sleep insomnia. And then, of course, the lack of sleep makes all of your symptoms worse.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So knowing that and figuring ways to be able to...
Yeah, do you have any tips on that? You've shared some things before.
Like yeah. Yeah, I mean, you it's not a good idea to look at screens before bed.
Right.
And I try to read books instead. Mm-hmm. We really want to kind of wind our brains down. And that's a good thing to do. I think the more that we can talk about what's going on emotionally with our partners before we go to bed, so that there aren't still things that are worrying in our brain.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're not spending as much time talking about our feelings with our partners. We're more likely zoning out by watching.
I know, but I do have a good show for you.
You do?
No.
I'm always open. We've been watching all French shows recently.
Oh, nice.
In preparation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a great idea. And Jeff and I will sit and we'll figure out, you know, we'll talk about our days and things that are going on. And on certain days, you know, if we just want to veg out, we have to be careful about what show we pick also. So it doesn't trigger a big discussion about something that gets us fired up again, you know. So it's usually going to have to be something like we've been watching Alone, you know. So it's these survivalist things instead of anything that has politics or medical, you know. Just keep it so it's not some future debate that's about to occur.
Yes. And what we've been doing is watching more comedies.
Yeah.
So we found a couple of new tricks as a detective comedy, one that we really enjoy. And then Family Business is a French show.
Awesome.
And so we find that, I notice that when we're watching dark shows that where there's violence and a lot of heaviness and darkness, I fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like I need to detach from that stuff.
Yeah.
And I have much easier time staying engaged when it's lighter.
Yeah.
And so that I think that's true.
Yeah.
We need to really pay attention to what we're exposing ourselves, and we need more joy and lightness, and that the more negative that we bring into our life, that does make it harder for us to sleep.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we're still anxious. Yeah. Here's another symptom. You use drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Which only make things worse. And I think we all know that,
right?
That's an escape and a bad choice. But it does seem to be...
Do you think it's on the rise?
I do.
Yeah.
Especially alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of people use CBD products. And I think that the degree of self-medication is increasing because we're trying to cope with this. But it's not the best strategy.
Right.
And I think I've probably been a broken record about this. I think the more that we engage and communicate emotionally, that we feel like our partner's is there for us, or, you know, that is much better for our mental health.
For sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, the drugs and the alcohol, that I'll go into my immune system, but that does fight it. Like, that doesn't help us. That suppresses our immunity.
Exactly.
So we really need to be careful with the use of drugs and alcohol.
Yes. Yes. Because it does affect how your brain manages stress and anxiety. So it's not a good, not a good strategy. Another symptom is, of course, you're depressed.
Yeah.
And the depression is definitely correlated with emotional exhaustion. I mean, we know that when people are depressed, that they're lethargic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and that we have a hard time concentrating. So it's hard to sometimes discriminate because there's such crossover between sure. depression and emotional exhaustion.
Yeah.
But it leaves you with feeling like you have no energy, feeling numb, a lack of motivation. So one of the symptoms that is really important to pay attention to is when you are no longer interested in things that brought you joy earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you know you used to love playing music, but
now you don't.
You don't really do that. Or if it feels like it's too much effort to get on your paddleboard and go for a paddle, those are danger signals.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that I have had depression in my past, and that feeling of you just, there's no desire to get, even get up.
Yeah. And not having energy.
Yeah. Our heaviness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you have any feelings of hopelessness that last longer than 2 weeks, you probably should be looking at getting some help with that. Yeah. That's a symptom that you may need professional help. Recharging yourself is dependent on determining the cause of the emotional exhaustion. So if you identify what it is that I'm doing that's really depleting me, then you can really make an intervention. So it begins with disconnecting for what the cause is and then letting yourself heal and administering self-care. Mm. That's why I'm going on my trip, right?
Exactly.
I've been working too many hours.
You know, we had that show a few months ago, and I am proud of us because I took some days off.
Yes!
You're going on a trip. Like, we're doing it. We're practicing what we preach.
We're practicing.
But it makes a difference. Like, we're going to go ride the Hiawatha and spend the weekend in Wallace just to get away.
Yeah.
I mean, and it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in my birthday weekend, I just did totally indulgent self-care because I knew I'd been going so hard. And that's, I think, notice what is it you're doing that's contributing to the emotional exhaustion, and then tapering back on those things and replacing them with nurturing self-care. So do we have time to go
ahead
and
continue? Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue this discussion.
Okay.
But you're listening to Functional Health Radio. All right, welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness coach and own a gym called The Shed here in Sandpoint. And I'm joined by my co-host, licensed marriage and family therapist, Jill Kahn. And we're talking about emotional exhaustion. Pretty sure I've got it. But this has been a great topic because I do know a lot of people that are having a hard time right now. And, you know, hopefully we can at least recognize what it is and start getting better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So one of the symptoms is you're finding it hard to exercise.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So there definitely is a symbiotic relationship between your mental fatigue and your physical fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that. And there are people who I'm seeing in my practice who are just having a hard time getting up and doing any kind of moving.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to really pay attention to. And it's interesting because the more you get up and move, the less depression you have.
Exactly.
But if you're depressed.
Taking that first step is really hard.
Yeah.
And do you give any tips? I mean, I know I have tell people certain things, but you might also.
Well, I tell them that I think it's really good to start small.
Yeah.
Take a 10-minute walk in the middle of the day in the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't force yourself, and don't go to a class that you don't like.
Right. Especially that.
Yeah.
Where you feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like, run.
Yeah.
So I think, too, I gave the same thing. Give yourself, at least commit to 10 minutes, then reassess. How do you feel? I've never really had anyone who's done it 10 minutes. You know, they're, oh, I can just finish this workout or whatever. But, yeah, make it achievable.
Yes.
And make it fun. And I think walking is underrated.
Yeah.
I think everyone should be out there getting steps in. It's beautiful outside.
Yeah, especially with your animal.
Mm-hmm.
We've been having a great time walking the little puppy.
Oh, nice.
So another one that is a symptom of this emotional exhaustion is that your eating habits change.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really seen this in my practice. People who are really restricting their food intake or overindulging or, you know, eating things that you wouldn't normally eat, right? So if you're predominantly a healthy person, you can tell if you're starting to crave unhealthy food.
Like sugar.
Well, for me, it's been chips.
Oh.
It's been salt. It's interesting. You know, I'm not so much the
sugar.
So
is that kind of a comfort thing?
You know, I'm almost wondering if it had to do with the heat in the summer.
Oh,
that I somehow or other I needed the salt or something. But it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, I've never really been a chips person. All of a sudden I have this, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing like those kettle chips when I come home from work.
Tell me about it. And also, let's go back to the controlled eating. Or is that control, the under eating?
Well, you know,
restrictive.
The restricting is, I think, for trying to get a sense of control when your life feels out of control.
That's what I was wondering, yeah.
And the crazy part is that when you start restricting, that becomes out of control.
Sure.
So the very thing that you think you're achieving, you're losing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like exercise can become that too.
Yes.
So there is a fine line between, you know, what's adequate exercise and then
overdoing it. Yeah. And I've seen some of the people at my gym who definitely are doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it has an addictive quality.
Sure.
Yeah. So number 10, you make more mistakes.
Oh, yes.
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you start to forget things, right? And mm-hmm. and you make mistakes that are uncharacteristic. So what we see is that the mental exhaustion is created by the experience of overfunctioning, mm-hmm. right? We may be doing that. And the conditioned behaviors that we have associated with constantly moving, doing, and being, right? So we're going all the time. And not taking enough time to just be quiet, be still, and more than anything else, broken record for me, staying with your feelings,
yeah.
right? Not just avoiding them to try to numb yourself to whatever you're feeling. We're going to have some moments when we feel anxious or when we feel some sadness. There's some loss in our lives, and we've got to make space for being still enough to let those feelings come up and get processed. So trying to slow down a little bit. That's been something that I've been doing. Like, it was so good for me on Sunday. I rarely do this. I just sat and read for a while in the sun. And I thought, okay, this is good self-care.
Yeah.
So focus on that kind of self-care of slowing down and not trying to think about what's the next thing I can accomplish. Because accomplishing is only keeping you running on that treadmill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing, I identify this, you feel pain more often.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So your pain from mental fatigue could cause you to be in a lot of pain physically, including frequent headaches, sore muscles, back pain, stomach problems, and more.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've definitely noticed that.
Absolutely. I think I have almost all of these. This is kind of scary. what can we do about that?
So,
just more self-care?
Well, I think why I wanted to bring this topic is the most important thing is to identify,
Yeah.
And again, slowing down, mm-hmm. looking at how do we do things that are going to bring us joy or be satisfying, finding the balance between activity and stillness.
So this is great because in my head, you're saying boundaries. Because I think we need to create boundaries for our emotional health.
Yes.
And setting aside time. I know we both work in worlds where people come to us to unload and unwind. And it's more and more and more for us.
Yes.
And we're really bad about allowing time not to be in that situation and actually work on ourselves. So, yeah, setting boundaries in your life to make time to heal and just be.
So that's a nice segue into our next topic, because I think you're absolutely right that for those of us who are overfunctioning, especially if we're in service industries, we definitely need to set boundaries in order to alleviate some of this emotional exhaustion.
Yeah.
And I've tried to be better about not squeezing in that one extra client or saying to people, you know, I am booked, I'm sorry, you know. And that's new for me is to say, no, I have to take care of myself.
Yeah. Well, and it's because I love what I do. I love helping people. It does bring me joy, but there is that line where it becomes, maybe I'm not as good as what I should be at doing this. You know, I do need to take a break.
Yes. Because I do lose my effectiveness if I overextend myself.
Yeah.
So for example, typically when I do an intensive, I do 5 hours one day and 5 hours the next day. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, you know, I think that's too much. Mm-hmm. I'm only going to do 4 hours each day.
Good.
And that, I think that was better.
Yeah.
So I didn't come home just like wiped out.
Right.
Yeah.
Good.
So let's talk about boundaries. And
let's do that.
Understanding a little bit more about that. So boundaries are those unwritten rules that everyone has to protect themselves from other people's behavior and that allow us to get our wants and needs met. So it's a kind of like having a fence around the behaviors that you do and the ones that you find acceptable from others. Mm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So when we aren't sure what our boundaries are, or we consistently let people get away with behavior that we shouldn't allow, it has big emotional effects. Yeah?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we often aren't good at recognizing these side effects until we've already allowed people to overstep our boundaries and or treat us badly.
Yeah.
Yeah? So first of all, let's talk about the warning signs that your boundaries are in need of repair. So the really glaring one is you feel put out or taken advantage of or used. So if you're feeling that, that is a direct result of giving more than you should be reasonably giving and then not experiencing reciprocity. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like the energy is going all one direction in a relationship, you don't have sufficient boundaries. Nice. Yeah?
And so that's something that I've experienced before. I don't know, you probably have too. It's hard to have that conversation with the other person, but it is something that can happen and it works fine. I mean, I think sometimes you're in these friendships and people forget, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I need to share this with you.
Yeah.
So, but and it's worth trying.
And sometimes in my practice I'll say, it's not good for me to be more invested in you getting well than you are.
Oh, that was good.
Right. So you need to take responsibility for your healing. It's not my responsibility.
Yeah, good. Let's take a break because I want to continue these, but it's time for some commercials. So you're listening to Functional Health Radio. All right, welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness coach and gym owner here in Sandpoint, and I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn, who has a practice in Sandpoint. And we're discussing boundaries and how you know if your boundaries need to be rebuilt.
Yes. So I think it's important for you to ask yourself if you're one of those people who has a hard time saying no, right? That you want to be accommodating and maybe you're a people pleaser.
Yeah.
So if people are frequently requesting things that they have no business asking you for, or if you people please, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm sort of shocked about is how often I'm working full time. I'm super busy. I'm teaching Zumba. I've got a very full schedule. And how many of my friends who are retired, like, don't pick up the ball.
I know.
And I sort of think, why am I the one who's always scheduling the Zoom sessions for book group, right?
No. That boundary needs to be repaired.
It's amazing to me. But
I know.
I'm sort of shocked at that because it's like there doesn't seem to be an awareness that, and maybe they're busy too. I shouldn't make that assumption, but it's interesting.
Yeah. The roles we play.
Yes, yes. So the truth is we do teach people how to treat us.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't speak up and say no, which
it's
reinforces,
hard, but it is. You can do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you're perpetuating the problem by training that whatever it is they want, you will do. So I do have to, I think, at some point say, I'd like someone else to take over responsibility
for...
You
can do it when you get back from your trip.
Yes, for scheduling the Zoom sessions. Or the other day, when we were going out to dinner with some friends, I did say, could you please make the reservation?
Nice.
Because normally that's what I would do.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. I think the more you do it, too, they're going to, they'll notice, that shift will happen naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
So here's another sign. If you consistently find yourself in situations that are difficult, So if you feel like people are taking advantage of you or crossing the line, that's a sign that your boundaries aren't strong or reinforced. Mm. So you might not even realize that that's what's going on, but you just feel upset because you feel like you're overwhelmed, mm-hmm. or people keep pushing the limit.
Yeah.
So another one is you blame other people.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So do you feel like other people are largely responsible for your hurts? Blame and recrimination of others is a sign that you're either allowing other people to violate your boundaries or you weren't firm enough in the first place. Mm-hmm. So once you start taking more responsibility for your part by setting limits, it's easier to see when you didn't honor your own boundaries. Mm-hmm. So the last one is, a sign is if you have trouble expressing your feelings, your needs, or your wants. So it's common for people with boundary problems to not even know what it is that they really need or want.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah? They're just not even aware. And if you find yourself not getting your needs met, it may be that you haven't been clear enough mm-hmm. about what that is. Yeah?
Yeah. Wow. I never even thought about that. I know it's hard. Like, I did a lot of work on setting boundaries because I was definitely a people pleaser from a young age.
Yes.
And it was hard.
Yeah.
Of course, I went over the top. We had a show years ago about this, but there is a great way of doing it. Maybe we should talk about it again sometime. But and then there's a way that's a little bit much. That was my method. But I think it's a great topic and something to work on for everyone.
So I think the first step is to really notice when it is that you're getting annoyed or irritated. Mm-hmm. And then taking steps to remediate that. Like, for example, when we do dinner parties, we have one coming up tomorrow night, I know that I find myself getting stressed and overwhelmed and irritated that nobody's stepping up and helping.
Yeah.
But if I don't ask for help,
yeah.
then I'm training them that I'm going to take on that responsibility. So I sent a text to my daughter-in-law saying, what would you like to contribute, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to delegate tasks because I know I'm going to come home from work and I can't do the whole thing.
No.
So I'm trying to be better about recognizing what the situations are where I typically find myself feeling overwhelmed or not getting enough help and asking for that help beforehand.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
You taught me to do that a few years ago with the holidays, because the holidays are where it comes on strong.
Yes.
And we don't, it's just overwhelming, and I want to enjoy it. So delegation is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Or today, when my daughter called me and she said, how are we going to manage the car situation? I said, you know what? You need to call your dad and ask him. I'm working full time and have him handle it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I want to finish the show with given some tips on ways we can boost our immune system. And I'm not talking about, I feel sick today, so now I'm going to take a bunch of vitamins. We need to change the way we're living, people.
Yes.
You know, most of us, we make choices. Like we talked earlier about too much alcohol or we're eating fatty foods. And so there are some things that we can definitely do to shift our health.
Yeah.
And now's a great time to do it with everything going on out there. Plus, flu season's just around the corner.
Yay.
So the first thing I think that we need to look at is diet. And a diet rich in antioxidants is so important for our immune system. So antioxidants are abundant in fruits and vegetables. And it also choosing healthy fats. So I'm just, like we talked about, starting to eat more fish. I'm not a big fan of fish, but I'm going to do it. And especially oily fish. So that is like a salmon. I don't know. What other fish do you eat?
Well, I love halibut.
Yeah.
I love steelhead.
Yeah.
I love tuna.
Mm-hmm. So
sea
looking
bass.
At your diet, and I'm sure you can look anywhere online or talk to a nutritionist in town. But that's an important thing. And then also exercise. And we did discuss this too. There is a problem with over-exercising too, because that will cause more stress to your body.
Mm-hmm.
So finding balance 4 to 5 days a week. It could be a mixture of weight training and aerobic exercise. They both have proven to really help your immune system. Walking every day is, you should. just do it. Get outside. Getting outside helps. Stress reduction. Do things. Meditate. Do you meditate at night?
I do. Yeah.
Reading books. Finding ways to address, you know, journaling.
Mm-hmm.
Ways to reduce that stress. Talking to your partner before bed. Getting great sleep. You need 8 hours. So I am really strict about that.
I wish I could.
I'm like, it is, and I have to get up at 4.
Oh my gosh.
I get to bed because I know that if I don't sleep, it's all downhill. So making sleep a priority. And of course, always washing your hands.
Yes.
The basics.
Yes.
And there are such things, you know, herbs and supplements that are helpful. You know, I was talking to a nurse practitioner today and, you know, what her feeling was. Because when you start reading about it, there's mixed messages. Like, you know, this is good. Well, that's not proven. I don't think it hurts your body to just give yourself a boost, especially a vitamin D, mm-hmm. vitamin C, echinacea, things like that, that we don't really get a whole lot in our food, depending on our diet.
Yep.
So, and it's not going to hurt us.
No, I don't think so at all.
Yeah. So there's some short tips. Get healthy, people.
Yes.
We can do this. All right. Have fun on your trip, Jill.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Functional Health Radio.